welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is a man that is currently swinging around in circles while shooting his Berettas into the floor, hoping that it'll form a hole that he can drop through so the werewolves that are chasing him don't eat him. It's David Cross.
Bang, 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 bang!
That's the noise a Beretta makes.
Your sound is amazing right now, David.
Oh, thank you.
You're running from werewolves. You're in a very tight, like, neoprene suit, which should be very loud. You're falling through places, and you're coming in great.
Yeah. Well, I have a lapel mic. What you don't see is that I'm actually using a GoPro rig. So I'm going to load this to my YouTube later. You'll be able to see it in it's that look where it's at my face.
Oh. Will this be better than your zombie? Like when you outran the zombies, you think you'll get bigger views on that one than this
one? Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with zombies. They're so slow. I had to fake like they're coming after me. I was just like, oh, I'm walking fast.
You're speed walking away from them.
Yeah. The downside of looking this cool, though, is I have to shower multiple times a day. I'm very sweaty wearing leather.
That's when they catch you.
Yeah, when I'm showering, the werewolves break in. Yeah. Aha, you don't have your leather on. You're vulnerable.
It's like the rabbit and the hare. Like, you run away, but you're like, man, I'm sweaty. I got to shower. Then they just come get you. It's been the same for 10 years I've known you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You have an interesting life, David.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing is, I've been practicing my running from werewolves for like 700 years. So I got it down.
Yeah, when I first met you in grad school, you were running at night, and you're like, follow me! And I'm like, oh, cool, I'm down for a jog.
Yeah, follow.
And it turned out you saved me.
The werewolves are behind us.
Yeah, it turned out you saved me from a horde of angry Jacksonville werewolves.
Jacksonville werewolves. That's the name of our future band.
Yeah, in What We Do in the Shadows, they're like, we're werewolves, not swearwolves. Well, Jacksonville werewolves are swearwolves.
Yeah, they're bewerewolves.
Yeah. How long have we been talking about covering Underworld and we're going to do the rest of the franchise? A year?
A year? Yeah, about a year. I pitched this. Maybe you pitched it. We kind of simultaneously pitched it. Yeah. That's a joke. Just to let the listeners know, like, Celine's like between 650 and 700 years old. I looked that up today, by the way.
Nice.
Because I thought it was very weird that she was like, I'm kind of attracted to this 22-year-old. we've been talking about this for at least a year. 9 months, almost a year, probably.
We keep pushing it back. We'll cover other films, but we're finally at it. And I've been really looking forward to this because this is a franchise that I like a lot. I really enjoy this. I mean, Underworld, released in 2003, directed by Len Wiseman, starring Kate Beckinsale, Bill Nighy, Martin Sheen. I mean, just a wonderful cast, very moody. It's just a pulpy, good, fun film. And the entire franchise, none of the five films are fresh. They're all rotten, but they've all made money. And I think Kate Beckinsale is underappreciated. And I was watching this again, David, and there's four superhero landings that she has in this movie. And she just looked awesome. I mean, Len Wiseman, he definitely enjoys filming Kate. I mean, they got together on this movie. I digress. But their commentary is really cute, by the way. You should listen to it. And Speedman's totally oblivious in the commentary. I don't know. They're like, were you even there? And I learned she had pneumonia while shooting this. But it's just this is just a moody, cheap, $22 million budgeted film that hits above its weight and understands how pulpy it is. I love it, David.
I'm shocked that's $22 million. I thought it was more than that. 22? I thought it was at least $60
million. Yeah, well, I mean, they had to go overseas, right? You go shoot in like Budapest and those kind of areas. I mean, you can definitely stretch your dollar. I mean, we were talking about Blade 2 when they went over to film. You know, they paid the extras $18 a day. That's why they were able to do that massive club scene where they have that big fight.
That's
because
right.
they paid, the equivalent of U.S. dollars. So you go over there, you stretch it. But I mean, still, to take a $22 million movie and, like you said, make it look like a $60 million movie. There's something special about this. It's moody. What I like about Wiseman in this film, you never see a gas station. You never see a supermarket. You never see anything.
The sun?
The sun or anything just mundane about daily life. There's no travel. It's always people arriving. And he wanted this to seem like this hyper it's the real world, but he didn't want any of the mundane aspects. He wanted it to be sort of stylized. And and once again, like, I don't know. I'm jumping right into this, but I got to tell you something cool. So Len Wiseman, man, and you probably already know this, but he just wanted to make a living, breathing graphic novel. And he started off as a prop assistant on Stargate. And then he went to props on Independence Day, went to props in Men in Black, props on Godzilla. Then he shot Underworld, then he had Underworld Evolution, Live Free or Die Hard, which I love. And then Total Recall, which I don't remember much of it. But he met Patrick Tatopoulos on Stargate and Independence Day. Then he brought him in to do the creature design on this. And this is a guy who's done creature design on like Pitch Black, Riddick, Super Mario Brothers, Stargate, Godzilla, Stuart Little, I Am Legend. He's the production designer on Batman v Superman. So you have this young up-and-coming director who's done a lot of props. He brings Patrick Tatopoulos with him, who's really hungry. Then he gets Tony Pierce Roberts, the guy who shot Howard's End, A Room with a View, The Remains of the Day, and White Fang. He's nominated for 2 Oscars. And it's just, I don't know. I love it. And the editor did Full Metal Jacket and Mortal Kombat and Event Horizon. So it's wow. Just, it's, this movie brought this young and hungry crew. They got some people that were already established to shoot it. And it looks great.
Mm-hmm. What I am most shocked about what you said is that this is rotten on Rotten Tomatoes. I can't believe that.
Getting in the mindset, right? Getting in the mindset of these critics. Like I was reading some of these reviews, and a lot of people just go, "Leather-clad Beckinsale. Keck Beckinsale is the hottest vampire. Sumptuously deceased and enticing, just like Beckinsale. SNN inspired eroticism. They're like Beckinsale, wonderful actress who looks game and are painted on leather garb. Dracula never looked as good as Celine, saved only by its bounty of eye candy. And then, like, man, the Kate Beckinsale looks great in tight leather. Like, these are the reviews for this movie. And after reading through them, I kind of felt like I needed a shower.
That's early 2000s.
Yeah, you're right. It's normal, isn't it? Yeah, right?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I think critics didn't like about this film is that they probably saw it as being somewhat derivative of The Matrix. I'm the type of person who's like, I love The Matrix. I also love this film. I can like Coke and I can like Pepsi.
Exactly.
It doesn't bother me. Yeah. Like I wanted more of The Matrix. Guess what? This is The Matrix from Trinity's point of view.
And we had a great, you and I thought the same thing, did we not?
You said, yeah.
We read each other's minds. I mean, this is Trinity saving Neo. And she's been around for 650 years murdering werewolves who can kill vampires with ease. So she's just out there, superhero landing, killing people. She's crushing on Scott Speedman, 2003 Scott Speedman. So that's good, right? But it's
good.
It's this like wiping people out. Yeah, I don't know.
One of the things that I also noticed in the reviews, I read a couple. I read like Vanity Fair and Hollywood Reporter and New York Times. They're all like, no one says anything for the first 15 minutes. And I literally, when I was reading the first review that said this, I closed my laptop and put my hand in my head. And I was like, there was a voiceover within the first 5 seconds. Like, I do not understand this critique.
Yeah. What were you watching, right?
Yeah. It's kind of how I felt. Because that's basically everyone's like, this is a big, dumb popcorn movie, except it's also, like, not fun. And I'm like, this is a big, dumb, fun popcorn movie. Are you kidding me?
Like, what were people missing here, David? Because a lot of people are saying that's very glum. And I know that Kate Beckinsale, she went out of her way and she said that I didn't want to do anything that was really winky-winky at the camera. She didn't want to do something super hammy. But you watch this film and you just see the over, like, just the characters. Like, there's Craven, who's this, lackey, who's running his own place, and he's basically just partying all the time. Then you have Bill Nighy owning and spitting and headlocking vampires. Martin Sheen as an action hero. This, like, it takes it so seriously. It's fun. There's a lot of fun to this movie.
Yeah. I mean, but I think people wanted laugh. But there's not laughs. This is just action fun. There's kind of a difference.
No, you're right. But the action is fun.
It is. I mean, I think people, this is more of a, how do I put this? It's more of an action horror movie. You know what I mean? It's not, like, there's not really a place for a lot of lighthearted laughter in it. It's not a family movie. So I don't understand why people wanted it to be really funny. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. The expectations are wrong.
Had people not watched, you know, Bram Stoker's Dracula, Interview with the Vampire, there's not... Yeah, it's a very angry immortal murdering werewolves with a lot of politics involved. Like, where's... Yeah, that's a good... That's a great point, David. I mean, where would the humor come from?
Celine
multipass.
Celine's multipass into her, the blood crypt?
Yeah. I love the world building, too, and... I know that, you know, the script, which I really like, by, Kevin Graveau, Len Wiesman, Danny McBride, and then Danny McBride wrote the screenplay. They did have to go through, they went through some arbitration before it came out, and they settled out of court for it, because somebody said that they stole some ideas. But it's also, like, a vampire movie meets The Matrix, so it's just, yeah, and just people.
Yeah. So there's two points I want to make there before we forget it. For one, the guy who came up with it, the guy who came up with the idea is Kevin Graveau, and I hope I got his name right. And he plays Reyes in this film. But he apparently like wrote a treatment or a script, and then someone else rewrote it with him. So I really thought that was really important. And then the second one, I would say that the lawsuit, I believe, was around Vampire the Masquerade, the RPG or LARPing game. And when I read that, I was like, the idea of vampires fighting werewolves is not new. Yeah. I don't know. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, you want to go back to the 40s or 30s and see this? Like, because we can.
Oh, they did have that. Universal Films.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's silly, right?
It is.
And people call this, like, you do notice people calling it derivative. And I don't know. I watched this again, and I like what Len did. I mean, this is his first film. I really enjoyed watching Kate Beckinsale get four superhero landings and just wipe out people with ease. Because think about the 80s, David, and the 90s. We just watched superhero men like Commando or even Blade, right? In Blade, nobody even gives Wesley Snipes a chance unless he's outnumbered, and he even kills the Blood God quite easily. So I love that Kate Beckinsale got an opportunity to just murder people easily. Mm-hmm. Like, she has the occasional fight, but for the most part, she's just wiping out these things. I love it. I'm so happy that she got that role, and she fought for it. And I don't know, she didn't even want it until she saw that Len Wiseman had storyboarded and drew pictures for the entire thing, because he's a props guy. And then she took the job, because she...
I didn't know. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and he really, like, I don't know. Bill Nighy was on set. Bill Nighy's quoted as saying, he said, this is going to be one of the best vampire movies ever made. He said that, too. And it made me... He's not wrong. And he loves it. In all of his interviews since then, he's like, I'm a middle-aged, lanky, slightly out of shape English actor. And they were trying to get me to wrestle with a vampire werewolf in knee-deep wet water. And he just... He said that it was a real banger script. He loved everything he got to do. I don't know. Michael Sheen... They pulled a... We talked about The Wolfman 2010. Michael Sheen got to do the thing where he runs on a carpet that's being pulled by a car. And then they had stuntmen jumping on trampolines while the car drives underneath it. Then they did all the plates, so that's a scene where he jumps over the car. It was just a stuntman on trampoline going up in the air. But I don't know, man. The ingenuity in this... you have a Oscar-nominated cinematographer, hungry cast, lots of... you can follow the plot, too. I dig the plot. It's... I know we keep going around circles saying how much we love it, but maybe we're just being a little defensive of it because of the, I don't know, the stigma that's a bad film.
So one of the things I wanted to touch on, Mark, is like leather. So like leather, the use of leather in the early millennia, late millennia, early millennia. And I was reading online, and so this is like someone else's idea. I can't remember where. I think it was, I wish I could remember. I'm so sorry. But basically they were talking about how, the leather itself represents like a new symbol in filmmaking, and it's like a revolutionary view. So you can like trace it from Neo and Trinity through this movie, through Blade 2, and then like the heroes wore black leather as a way to show that they were different from the rest of everyone else.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was an interesting take.
Yeah, so it's not... I mean, I guess this wasn't leather. She said it was the same fabric as like a condom. That's what she said. So mm-hmm. She like slipped in and out of it. But it makes sense. You're a pouty vampire, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You probably don't sweat that much.
But it does separate it, right? It's a different kind of hero now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's the early aughts new metal hero.
I do love the alt new metal in this, man.
Yeah. Did you know that Mila Jovovich is on the soundtrack?
No, I did not.
She is. She's on the soundtrack.
Wow. So I was like,
two of my favorites. Yes.
That's a what's the song?
It's called Rocket Collecting.
Oh, man, I got to listen to this. Two of the most underappreciated action stars. I mean, they were out there just doing it, making it happen. It was cool. These movies don't get the love they deserve, do you think? I mean, they got five of them, but they kind of punchlines.
I've only seen the first two.
Oh, you've only seen the first two.
I've only seen the first two. I don't remember the second one. So this, I guess, a retrospective is going to be very new to me. That's why I'm so excited to do it. Because until recently I hadn't watched Underworld in years, so I didn't remember it. And I definitely don't remember the second one. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah. And the second one, I remember that they throw paint in a window for about 12 minutes. And then the fourth one, I remember there's a werewolf that instead of just squishing somebody's head, it just throws people 30 feet and then they run away. Then it throws them 30 feet again. And then the fifth one, I just remember Kate Beckinsale's coat. That's
You're
it.
way ahead of me.
Yeah.
So Mark, do you want to do our favorite things about this film?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, from five favorite things, and we'll start with number five.
Oof.
Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
I'll go.
Okay.
Oh man, so I'm just gonna say it right off the bat: the opening superhero landing.
It's good. It's really good. Yeah, it's a great scene.
And Kate Beckinsale was talking about it on the commentary, and the way her coat is flapping in the wind, her brother's like, "Looks like you're farting," and so Kate Beckinsale said that's like her fart pose. She's funny, man. She's hilarious. If you've never listened to her on talk shows or followed her Instagram, she's cheeky, but not like immediately off the bat, you get a real cool, practical superhero landing. And I love the way they shot it. There's a whole video on the DVD about how she did it. So yeah, that's it right there.
I mean, is that first superhero landing?
Well, Blade had one.
Can't be the first. Blade had one. Yeah, yeah. Blade. Yeah. Okay. My number five is the practice range. With the statues.
So excessive.
I don't understand what is going on, but I'm there for it.
You know what?
Watching it. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go for it.
I was thinking, like, what are they trying to convey with this scene? Are the vampires so rich that they just shoot marble? Are the bullets so tough that they can shoot through marble? Are the werewolves so tough that they have to shoot marble to make sure the bullets work? I did not understand any of it. And I like it.
I love every theory that you had because I didn't even think about because if they're just shooting paper targets, they don't know if their bullets are enough to pierce a werewolf. That's really interesting. But also, I think that Kraven was so tired of because he had to clean up everything that Victor did for years. And so now that there's one of the old kind ruling and it's seemingly she's a light years away. He has control of his own vampire den. So everyone lounges, they drink blood. I think they're just so excessive. He wears these silky shirts. He just likes to party. And I think he doesn't care about wanting spending a cash. Like, this is Kraven enjoying his life after millennia of serving jerks. So he's like, yeah, shoot it. Well, shoot marble statues. Let's do it. Let's get a guy on retainer.
Could you imagine being the guy's like, hi, I spent 500 hours on this, and Celine's just like, bow, 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 bow.
Yeah,
it's so ridiculous.
And then get ready to spend 500 more. You know, it's I wish during the scenes because they walk through hallways really coolly. Like, I love all the hallway walking in this movie. Really great walking. That'd be funny if they walk by a shop where it's just eight people tinkering with marble bus.
Just give them a thumbs up. Ready in a week, boss.
They put it on a platform that goes up.
Wait, they do?
Yeah.
I must have missed that.
There's a whole, like, I'm telling you, there's tinkerers in there that just make marble shooting statues.
You mean it's they're familiars? So like, if we make 500 statues, we'll finally get to be a vampire.
Yes, there's 18 Renfields in there. Just going crazy.
What's your number four?
Okay, so there's a scene where Victor, played by Bill Nighy, is walking into the final battle, and a werewolf runs up on him. This werewolves are just running all over vampires, just wiping them off the face of the earth. Bill Nighy catches it by the throat, breaks his neck. Beautiful.
It is pretty cool. My number four is that werewolves are tough in this movie. Like, typically when you see a werewolf fight a vampire, the werewolf gets wrecked. But in this... The werewolves are tough. Like, yeah. Don't screw with them. They're probably tougher than the vampires.
I think they are. I think the average werewolf is tougher, but then there's Victor, who's so old that he can wipe out a werewolf. Like, there's a hierarchy. Yeah. But a random vampire versus, like, a new werewolf versus a new vampire, I think a werewolf wins.
Yeah, same. 100%. Yeah. I guess the problem with that is, like, the werewolf can't change at will. But if it happened during a full moon, the vampire would lose.
Yeah. And you just, oh, man, I love it. It makes me happy. All right, so am I up?
You are, number three.
Okay, so my number three is when Celine just starts spinning in a circle to shoot a hole in the ground, which they copied in Van Helsing. Later on, Van Helsing ripped that off, which makes me laugh.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
another movie we covered with Kate Beckinsale.
Let's see, Truthbusters. Mythbusters tried to do that, and they couldn't. But they're not Celine and a vampire. But the problem was with that scene, the squibs, they didn't know how far everything would shoot. And so a bunch of stuff got in Kate Beckinsale's eyes and she tried not to cry to make all the crew think she was a wimp. So yeah, that stuff, she suffered. She was getting pelted in her face with all those ricocheting stuff. I just want to let you, she suffered great. For art. Yeah, she suffered for her art there, but it's cool.
Suffered for our entertainment.
Yeah. She didn't, I'm telling you, she didn't want to be the woman on the phone in this film. She wanted an action film, and she's definitely not the woman on the phone in this.
She got it. I really dug Bill Nighy in this film. Mm-hmm. Just basically everything about it. Like he shows up and he's just like, I'm in charge. This scene is mine. Nom 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 nom.
Megan made me rewind a scene where they learn that the lady died because he goes, he does a really hammy look. It's beautiful.
I mean, that's kind of what's the awesome thing about this is that everyone has relationships in some way. So when someone dies, there's always a really decent reaction because it implies, you know, like everyone is related or knows about each other or have had really long relationships.
No, you're right. I mean, they've known each other for millennia. So to hear that someone's dead, woofta. All right, I'm on number two?
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, that's easy. When Victor has Michael in a headlock.
Victor? Oh, yeah.
Listen, you're sitting there and you're just going, Bill Nighy has a werewolf vampire hybrid in a headlock. This is the greatest moment of my life. So, yeah.
Did they ever say what Michael's name was? Like, what kind of creature he was?
Well, he's a mixed breed, right? He's a werewolf because he's one of the originals. He's an ancestor of that. But then you do what? The blood drinking. And then he had the werewolf in him, so then they wanted to combine his blood. So he's a 50-50.
Yeah, but there's no name for him. He's just like a, like, who knows? I'm trying to think really hard to come up with something. A vam wolf? A werepire? I have no idea.
Oh, man. A wolfpire? A hybrid.
Yeah, he's probably just hybrid. He's just a hybrid.
Well, the hybrid. Because, you know, okay. Oh, wow, he's like a Prius.
I have to plug in to get my juice. Does he need blood to survive, or does he have to eat meat? You know, these are things they're going to explore in future movies that I don't know.
I can't wait. I want to see his dietary habits going forward.
Smoothies. He's just like, I gotta have my smoothie today. It's like the blandest smoothie ever. It's like one banana, ice, and soy milk.
Yes.
True. So what a weird take on that thing. Okay, my number two is Rays. I absolutely love this character. He's probably my favorite character of the entire film. I liked him before I found out that he also came up with a concept for this franchise. And what I loved is that, like, he's clearly someone who you don't want to screw with, because at the beginning of the film, Celine basically runs from him. He's like, oh no.
She knows better.
Yeah, and I think that random wolf that dies is Ray's. I think Victor kills Ray's.
Yeah, because you never see what happens to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what you do get to see is Silver Whip Dude versus Ray's, and you're like, I don't understand why you have these silver whips. They're probably not very practical, but it's a cool looking scene.
It looks great in the trailer.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful trailer.
Like Ray's was just like, oh, you hit me. I guess I'm going to rip your head off now.
And then he gets it stuck in a rock and then just dies. Yeah,
so dumb. So dumb.
I mean, I think that guy knew he was dead, but he's like, I might as well just look super awesome before I die.
I mean, if you're going to fight a bunch of werewolves, what weapon do you take? Like, number one's a gun, obviously, but, like, what's your secondary weapon, your close combat weapon?
Oh, man, that's a great question. What's something I could stab it with when it's biting my head off?
You would just wear a spiky helmet.
That's it. Spiky helmet.
Spiky helmet. They come up, try to take my head.
Or what are those? I would have, like, maybe something Batman with gauntlets, maybe, or something that is on my arm, but, like, above my fist, there's a silver blade, so I could punch it with a blade, silver.
Okay.
Because I'm no good. I don't shoot guns much, so I wouldn't have good aim. I would just need something and potentially to stab it with that silver when it comes to murder me.
I feel like you'd want some type of spear to keep your distance because you don't want to get an arm's length.
Yeah, but once it gets inside that spear, and it's going to get inside that spear, David, because you and I have no idea how to spear things.
That's true.
I just would want to punch it, and then it breaks off, and then it sticks in the werewolf and just burns it like heck. And it's like, all right, this isn't worth it. Like that's what I'm going for.
You're going for the, I'm going to annoy you enough that you leave me alone?
Yeah, this is going to be inside you burning. You need to leave now to take it out or they die, right?
Okay. Yeah, just a blow dart.
Because I like this spear idea, but if it just head fakes you and just goes right in, you're done.
That's true. Okay. So you need a close quarters weapon, which is probably not a sword.
Maybe a shield with spikes that are silver.
Yeah, that would work. That'd be good.
What do you think?
Okay, I think we're gonna get killed by the werewolf.
Yeah.
So I don't think we have a choice.
This is my goal. When you talk about me later on, and you're saying, "Yeah, Mark got killed by a werewolf, but he got him good. The werewolf is fine. But if it had been for another 10 minutes, it might not be around anymore. And that thing's 3,000 years old. So it's impressive."
Yeah,
and
the werewolf basically a win. It's basically a win for Mark.
And the werewolf actually retrains his entire werewolf crew because, listen, this random person almost got me. We'll put a plaque up for him, and I will always remember him because that was the day I almost died because of this man's ingenuity. And I'll be famous for millennia. They'll call it the Hoffmeyer technique.
Just shoot you?
Yes, exactly. Indiana Jones me.
I guess that's kind of the weird thing with guns in this, like... You want to see vampires and werewolves fight each other, like, face-to-face, so when they're doing a bunch of gun battles, you're like, not as interesting as vampires punching werewolves, but it's pretty interesting.
That's, number one, huh?
Yeah, number one.
I mean, it's got to be, for me, the iconic visual of Celine just chopping Bill Nye's head in half with her cool jump and land. I mean, it's just neat. She goes and kills those three guys. And then she just kills Victor, the ultimate, and just woof, wipes him out. It's just neat.
Surprise attack!
But what I love is she just has so much agency in this movie, and that's why I love the character. And I know some people help her along the way, like she gets some help from Sophia Miles or Erica, but I just dig it. Like she just goes and chops off his head. She makes a decision, boof, done. I like Scott Speedman.
One of the reviews was saying that that's a cheesy. And bad special effects. And I, what is this, 17 years later? And I was like, no, it's still pretty good. It was pretty good when it came out. Like, I don't know what are you talking about?
You know what's kind of crazy is sometimes I wish these people would look at the budget, right? And just look at it. Like, look at Crawl's budget. Look at these movies' budgets. They are not going to look like Civil War. They're not going to look like Endgame. These movies... for what they are, have excellent special effects. Like, it blows my mind that people can't just look at the budget. Now, obviously, if you have a $10 million movie, it shouldn't be all visual effects, because that means all the visual effects will be bad. You got to be smart with it, of course.
Yeah.
But come on now.
Yeah,
come on.
Well, I mean, we do movie reviews much differently than a lot of people.
Yeah, you're right.
I feel like we're willing to take a softer approach and the context of when the film comes out and what they're trying to accomplish into consideration.
Yeah, a lot of people don't do that. They just hammer out reviews.
Yeah. Okay, my number one is lore. I absolutely love how lived in this world feels. And I touched on it earlier, but it feels like everyone knows each other. They all have relationships. There's these complicated structures happening from the politics to how you become a werewolf or a vampire. There's just a lot going on, and it made me feel like I was watching something really cool, and I wanted to know more.
No, yeah, absolutely. And it's cool. Like two vampires sleep, one's out. That's neat.
Yeah, and I want to know how they came up with that arrangement.
Yeah. Who decides this?
Yeah, because it's like kind of a weird, it's like, well, we could all fight each other and then two of us would die, or we could just share. You know what I mean? And they're like, okay, we'll share.
Yeah, 1,000 years, everyone comes back. Let's just do this. It seems the assist, like, they come back to, like, presumably, Amelia, right? She's going to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
For 1,000 years.
Amelia's going back to sleep. Marcus is going to wake up. And then after that, it'll be Victor. But, like, here's just, like, some things I thought was interesting. There's that. There's the sleep cycle. The time jumping, where they're calling, or leapfrogging through time. There's the blood memory. The idea that an elder has to bring back another elder because the other one's not strong enough to get their blood memory coherent.
Yeah.
Like, the idea that the vampires were slaves to the werewolves in order to protect them during the day. Like, it's just pretty cool around. Like, everything about it just feels more built up and built up and built up.
If they sleep for so long, that contraption on Bill Nighy must be new. That's new technology. So what did they use before?
I don't know. That's a great question.
And is also, Michael Sheen spends about half the movie, the end of this movie, laying down. Sorry.
That's true. He's just like, fake out. I'm not dead, but I will stand up.
He's just laying around. He never stands. He's always laying around creeping. Sorry to interrupt you about Bill Nighy. I just had to get that out there.
No. I'm just laughing. Okay, let's talk about Michael Sheen. Because there's this scene that I think is so, so funny. And usually I don't rag on movies, and this really isn't ragging on it. But this is just across the board in movies that do this. How come people who are hanging on top of cars don't know where the driver is, and they stab in the middle of the car every time? The roof?
That's
like, so you know where it is. You've driven a car before. It shouldn't be hard.
My only thing is maybe wind viscosity. When, you know, the wind is just pulling on him, the car is swerving, it's hitting bumps. That may be it. That's all I'm thinking.
If you're left-handed and you're trying to get the driver, it'd be easier. And he was right-handed, so that's why he couldn't do it.
Oh, yeah.
This is an elaborate explanation in my mind. But for once, I want to see a movie in which someone jumps on the roof and someone's like, he's on the roof. And then the guy who says that immediately gets killed.
Yeah, exactly.
Right through. Like,
Yeah, not 18 stabs around. No.
Yeah, just one stab.
Yeah, just one stab. Boom, boom. Oh, man. I never thought about that. Hey, how about this? You blew my mind. So let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we have some fun stuff to talk about with Underworld. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks, and I just love the realization that Michael Sheen is just relaxing for half the film. Easy paycheck.
He read the script, he's like, I'm tired. I just do this in my sleep.
I'm just laying around.
Let's do it.
That in the movie Free Fire, where they're just crawling the whole time. I love it. That makes me so happy. Hey, so you actually, on your Award Wieners Instagram page, which everybody should follow because it's hilarious, and you create wonderful memes that are absurd and silly, but also smart, and you have a very large following on Instagram, and you also post reviews at Award Wieners, and you have your podcast where you talk about Academy Award-winning films, and then you pair them with the Oscar Mayer hot dog recipe, and you also talk about other films, and you have an episode coming out about Mortal Kombat 1995 versus Mortal Kombat 2021. Follow Award Wieners. Wonderful.
Thank you for that plug.
Yeah.
I'm all up on the internets.
he's everywhere. He's behind you right now.
If you look out your window right now, you'll see a blimp with my movie review on it.
Whoa.
It's very small. It's going to be hard. You guys have binoculars.
Bloodshot. A++. Yes.
Yeah. S tier. But Mark, I asked my followers to give me some questions about Underworld. Like, what are the questions they had about this movie? And so I'm going to run through some of them. And we've probably touched a little bit of all of them, but not like 100%. So, like, the first question was, like, how much does this movie's existence owe to The Matrix?
I mean, it's got to be 99, right? And then Blade was successful. So 98, Blade was successful. So here, I have a list of movies here I just want to go through real quick.
Okay.
So here, let me pull through this. So we had, you just got to think about a few of the films here. You had Charlie's Angels in 2000, which was a massive hit, right?
Yeah.
Massive hit. Then you had Lara Croft Tomb Raider, 2001. Big hit. Gigantic hit. And I watched it again, and I love it. Then you had Resident Evil, 2002. That was a big hit. plus Matrix in 99. So Matrix probably kicked off a lot of different types of films. Those became successful, and Underworld was greenlit. So I think that the Matrix was a big influence, but also at the time, you had, like, I don't know. Well, Ginger Snaps and Dog Soldiers weren't responsible for it, but they were awesome. So, like, vampire movies were successful. Werewolf movies were doing just fine. And then you had this kind of really, really neat run of female-led action films. So I think all that combined to do it.
And I would say that there was also sort of a revival in like, classic horror in the early 2000s. Like, so everyone was looking back and talking about it. I would say that stylistically, Underworld owes a lot to The Matrix. And so does Blade 2 and some other films. But really, that's about it. Like this, I'm trying to think how to say this. I mean, this is a movie about vampires versus werewolves. Like, I think it would have almost gotten greenlit no matter what.
That's a great point. That's funny you say that. Yeah, I mean, it's $22 million, David. This isn't...
Mm-hmm.
Lara Croft had $100 million. Resident Evil, super low budget. Charlie's Angels was high budget. I mean, you had the success of Resident Evil for $30 million, $25 million. This is Werewolf versus Vampires with Bill Nighy, Kate Beckinsale, who was already established as an excellent actress in a lot of different period films, and The Last Days of Disco, some really good mm-hmm. films. You had Michael Sheen, Scott Speedman, who was Felicity Days. He was hot. He was so hot. And so, yeah, $22 million with that, with the people who funded it, I think it's a slam dunk.
Yeah, it sounds to me like they greenlit this and they were like, oh, The Matrix did pretty good, so let's just sort of graft on some of that style to it and go with it. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's interesting, though? People watch The Matrix and they talk about how The Matrix changed everything. But The Matrix wasn't the first film to use wire work. Mortal Kombat in 95 used wire work. And because they brought in a lot of Hong Kong fight choreographers and stunt coordinators to do it. I mean, you had Jackie Chan, you had Jet Li, lot of wire work before Matrix even happened. And Blade did bullet time before Matrix. So The Matrix kicked the door open and was innovative in many ways. But there are many films that inspired The Matrix, and then The Matrix inspired movies. So I just don't like all this. It was made because of Matrix. It's very reductive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry. I said to go off.
It's like influenced by and probably appreciates The Matrix a lot. So here's another question. Is the lore in this movie too complicated?
You know what's wild? I don't think so. Because you learn that there's one person who's out. Bill Nighy gets woken up because Celine considers him her dad. He's up too early. I mean, they explain everything in it. I don't quite know what Scott Speedman is in this movie, but vampires kill werewolves. Werewolves are in the underground. Vampires are just yuppies. They've infiltrated everything. That one can be awake. They don't want to have the species cross-populate. You know, you don't want abominations. It all makes sense. I don't know. It's always made sense to me. I never asked any bad questions, David. I never said what. I always just thought, okay, I get it. It's cool. I don't need to overthink it.
Yeah, I had absolutely no problem with the lore. So
I had a long answer, man. My bad.
No, this is great. This is what the people pay for. It's free. And this is one I think we've talked about previously on Van Helsing, but I can't remember it because I feel like I've had this conversation with multiple different people. Why do people think that werewolves and vampires don't get along? I mean, here's the thing, like, they'd probably get along.
Like, yeah, I mean, Hotel Transylvania proved that.
Yeah. And I was thinking, I was like, if you really wanted to make an antagonist for a werewolf, you'd probably have like a werelion. And if you wanted to end it like an opposite of a vampire, you would have like some type of reverse vampire that gives you blood.
Yeah, makes you explode.
Yeah. It's like putting them together, like they there's no real reason.
To be fair, this movie does give a backstory for it.
Mm-hmm.
So this one's more palatable than just saying they fight, because there is a massive backstory between them. So at least it builds to things being created, yada, yada. And then the elites were the vampires and they had these people, but then they rose up. So it makes sense in the regards of this franchise. But to just think that they fight is silly
I mean, let's just be honest, though. This movie is the rule of cool defined. It's like the people want vampires versus werewolves. Give them vampires worth vampires versus werewolves. And then it's like, okay. Okay, I'm happy.
Yeah. Let me watch a vampire versus werewolf fight in a train through the lenses of a... let's see. What does he have again? Through a... What were his weapons that he gets killed by? Oh, man. Oh, gosh. Indiana Jones. His whips. The guy with the whips. We watch a fight through his sunglasses. It's great. I love it. Give me more.
Okay, I have three more, and then we can wrap up my Q&A session with Instagram. On a scale from 1 to 10, how much would Zack Snyder like this movie?
It's not moody enough for him, and there's no... This is a different, completely different world than Snyder, I think. It's not as moody. The vibe is completely different. Mm. I really do. I think so. It's not as... Bill Nighy doesn't exist in one of his worlds. There's no God complex. Man, I don't see it being a Snyder picture.
Mm. I mean, I think him liking it on a 7 or 8 just because of the amount of slow-mo and just like this comic book grandiose feel that the film has.
Yeah, that makes sense. The music selections aren't as intense. The music is a very secondary element of this film. So on that, I got to dock a couple points off because Snyder wouldn't like that.
Okay. Could Selene take Ray's?
Okay. Well, she ran from him.
Yeah.
But Ray's gets wiped out by... It's a really good question.
Bill Nye's character.
Yeah.
But you see Ray's basically take out another death dealer.
Yeah. Like nothing. So from
my, I don't think she could do it. I think that he was a very scary werewolf in that the only person who was going to take him out was an elder.
I agree. And... We did see that that death dealer kind of think it could bow up on him, and he just gets wiped out immediately. Anybody who fights him gets wiped out immediately. So, yeah, Selene would be in trouble.
Yeah.
She's craftier than the other ones, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she ran away. She was smart. Like, everyone else was like, I can do this. And she's like, yoink.
Run away.
Okay. My last question, and I don't know how to take this one, but it's just, is Michael Sheen scary? I don't know, and I kind of get it because he's just not a very like physically imposing dude in this film, and he has sort of a weird haircut. Are we supposed to be scared of him?
I think we're supposed to be scared of his vampire form and who he is. I like that he's not scary looking. I love when there are really. That's why I like Keanu Reeves in Speed. That's why I like certain characters who don't look. Like Iko Uwe, I think Iko Uwe is the best movie fighter of all time. But if you look at him, you're like, hey, he's, you know, just strictly by size, he doesn't look that tough. I just think, I like it. So does he look tough? No. But do I appreciate that they brought in a good actor to play this more than just bringing in a tough guy? Yes.
What I think is scary about him and the implication of who this character is that he doesn't need to turn into a werewolf to kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he's scary, period. Like he shows up and you're like, oh, this guy could wreck me if he wanted to.
He can run.
And he's all about control.
Mm-hmm. And he's fast and he can spit out bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never even thought once about that. I've always bought his character because I never bought his character. I bought it as more of a romantic character than a scary character. He's just a romantic tragic character who could also wipe you off the face of the earth.
So that's
my thought.
Well, we'll get to explore his background in the third one.
Yep.
I don't know.
With Rona Mitra.
Are you confirming? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Bill Nighy.
So those are my Instagram questions.
Thank you, Instagram.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Those are good.
Yeah. My followers came through this time. I did prune some ones out of there that weren't questions, but we'll just keep that to ourselves.
No, those are perfect. So where do we want to go next? Do we want to do our action hero draft? We pick five female action stars who are non-superhero people, and then we'll whittle it down to what, five? So five, five, and then down to five.
Well, let's do the secret game that I have, we'll do that. So
I like
end
that.
On the draft. Okay, so. So just for your listeners, usually when I'm on, I surprise Mark with some random game. And this one's going to be called Vampire or Werewolf.
Ooh.
I'm going to name a movie and you tell me if it would be better with a vampire or a werewolf in it.
Well, that sounds great.
Okay, you can have bonus points if you can tell me, like, what the vampire or werewolf would be in that movie. First movie, Heat.
Werewolf.
Werewolf. Who's the werewolf?
So it would have to be Pacino.
I am thinking, oh my God, I forgot his name, Batman.
Batman. Val Kilmer? Batman.
I was like, Val Kilmer as a werewolf on it. But I think your choice is pretty good. I can't really complain about it.
Because think about this. De Niro knows that Pacino is a werewolf. Mm-hmm. And Pacino puts himself in a jail cell every full moon. It's an open secret amongst detectives. They have built the private thing. Kilmer knows. West Studi knows. The good cops know. I don't know. Val Kilmer gets the information, tells De Niro. So they plan a heist when Pacino is stuck in a jail cell as a werewolf.
I mean, you just wrote a screenplay for us. Like, I guess we're going to start writing this tomorrow.
It's amazing, like, isn't it?
A heist movie where they have to break into a werewolf den as the werewolves are locked up and then the wolves get out. Sounds pretty amazing.
Oh, I just wrote a great movie. Associate producers. Calling it now.
Okay. It's a Wonderful Life. Vampire or werewolf?
Well, It's a Wonderful Life is he keeps seeing the past, right? And, like, reliving days?
No. He essentially goes to a parallel world where he never existed.
Oh, got it.
He sees what happened to the world without him in it.
That sounds like a very much so a vampire, because you're only out at night. You can only come out. You can't come out during the day. You essentially, when you become a vampire, you're in a parallel universe where you just don't really exist anymore because no one will see you. So it makes more sense for a vampire. And the vampire would be Stuart.
Vampire would be Stuart. Vampire. I think it's a vampire movie, too. I do think it's a vampire movie. Okay. Okay, we're doing good. Now we're getting to the weird ones, Mark.
Yeah.
Harry Met Sally.
All right. That's a good one. That's a really good one. Billy Crystal, both characters would never want to turn into a vampire. So Crystal could never convince, like, Harry could never convince Sally. Sally could never convince Harry. But if Sally was a werewolf and she just wanted to, you know, they just have that relationship as friends and he knows about it and he helps her and she kind of keeps away from him because she's a werewolf, doesn't want that from him. Yeah, Sally's a werewolf.
Yeah. We're on the same page with Sally being the werewolf. I think I would go, what I would want to see in that film is a lot of her trying to hide being a werewolf from people she dates.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that would be really funny.
Yeah. I'll have what she's having because she jumps like three stories. And she's drinking Gatorade and just runs a 3-minute mile. I'll drink what she's drinking.
Okay. Two more, Mark, and we'll go through these quickly. As Good as It Gets. It's another rom-com.
Oh, man. Okay. This could work if Jack Nicholson was an immortal vampire who's just a total chauvinist, and he falls in love with Helen Hunt. Because in that movie, he's just basically an old vampire anyway. He's just grumpy. But I don't want him to be a vampire in that. I want her to be a vampire.
Ooh.
And then he has to change completely for her because she has to change for him. So I want to see him change for her because he learns of her abilities. That's what it is.
I think a vampire is the right way to go. I think it'd be interesting to have Keanu Reeves be the vampire though, because then she gives up eternal life.
Oh, wait, you're saying as good as it gets. You're saying it's complicated. As good as it gets, you said, right?
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves that's the one with Greg Kinnear and Helen Hunt.
Hold on. Did I confuse this movie? Nicholson. I'm confusing it for something else. I thought it was the one with Keanu Reeves and what is his name?
I mean, Jack Nicholson's already been a werewolf, so it would have to be Diane Keaton as the werewolf. It's complicated.
Is that the one with Keanu Reeves?
And Keanu Reeves, like she gets bit. She becomes a vampire. She goes to Keanu Reeves. He's like, man, you're different. And she's like, yeah. And then, so then you get that relationship. And then Nicholson's like, what's going on? She's like, well, it's complicated. And it really is complicated. So yeah, werewolf, Diane Keaton becomes a werewolf.
Give me 1 second just to confirm that I...
Wait, is it something's got to give?
Something's got to give is what I'm looking for. That's exactly what I'm looking for.
So I went to, it's complicated. So something's got to give. Diane Keaton is a werewolf.
Okay. Okay. I still want to see Keanu Reeves as a vampire. So I'm going to go to Keanu Reeves as a vampire. Oh, man. I got completely confused with that one. Okay. Last one. Mamma Mia.
Oh, man. Well, okay. So it takes place on a beautiful, sun-drenched Greek isle.
True.
So I don't want to see Mamma Mia at night. I want to see... No, it's got to be werewolves. It's got
to
be.
I think it has to be werewolves. But I also think it would be funny if Amanda Seyfried is a werewolf, but her fathers aren't. So it's clearly that they're not the father.
That'd be hilarious. Oh, man. And that's why she can't leave the island.
Yeah, that'd be really good.
Oh, I'd love that.
Ooh. So, Mark, that was Vampire or Werewolf. Mm-hmm. I think we got 4 out of 5, correct? Really messed up the Keanu Reeves one.
Hey, I love my As Good As It Gets. I'm really proud of that.
So, action draft?
Yeah, action draft. Let's do it.
Okay. You want to go first?
Yeah. I'm in. Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to pick 5 characters each, and we're going to narrow them down to 5. And what we're going to do is we're just going to pick legit action heroes played by females. We're not going to do superheroes, but we're just going to do ones that we love. And so my first pick is Eva Green as Artemisia in 300 Rise of an Empire.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Cool. Good one.
She's a villain, but she is a monster who could care less in that movie and kisses decapitated heads and just owns every second of her role. And she is a legit badass.
Yeah. So I have to pick this actress. Sigourney Weaver. I think you probably knew that was my number one. It's always going to be my number one if you're talking about a female action hero. I love Aliens, and I think she's awesome.
All right, so we got Ripley, right?
Yes.
And then we have Artemisia.
Yes.
All right, so we got that. So my next one is I am going to take The Villainess. So it is a Korean film about a hit woman who just wipes the floor with hundreds of people, played by Kim Ok-bin. Her name's Soo Ki. I got to go with her. So I'm going with The Villainess because she just murders hundreds of dudes. And pretty much every stuntman in Korea was killed by The Villainess. So I'm taking her.
Every stuntman deserves this. Okay, I'm going to pick Alice from Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah.
So that is Mia Jovovich.
Oh, yeah. She's the best. She is so cool.
Yeah, she's done so many good action movies.
All right, so I am going to take... Oh, man. Let's see. I got so many good ones in here. I'm going to take Rita Vitasky, played by Emily Blunt from Edge of Tomorrow. She's amazing.
Yeah. And, oh, man, that movie's so good. I feel like this is an obvious one, but Letty.
Oh, yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez from Fast and Furious.
Oh, yeah. Letty. Got to have Letty. Oh, yeah. So good. She's just... I hate that they killed her off, but then they brought her back, which I like.
Yeah, that's... Spoiler. Sorry, guys.
You never put Michelle Rodriguez in a corner. All right, I'm going to go... Since you're going to... I'm going to do KT from Bloodshot.
Cool. Cool.
Because I don't know. Yeah, I like her character, man. Why not? Give KT some love.
Okay, so this is an actress I want to pick, but I want your idea of what we should pick her from. And that's Michelle Yeoh. I basically love her in everything she's in, and I think the obvious one is Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, but is there another role that we are missing?
Well, I mean, Police Story, what, 2, I believe, with Jackie Chan? She's awesome.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, so then let's go with Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Okay, okay.
All right, so what was her character's name in that?
I'm looking that up. It came out in 2000 or 99?
I believe.
Her name is Yu Shu Lin, L-I-E-N.
Okay, Yu Shu Lin. Great. So we have one each left.
Oh, we have one each left. Yeah.
Oh, this is tough. I wrote all my notes down on a piece of paper and I forgot to bring my piece of paper up.
I can give you some hints because I have an idea of someone you might want to take.
Oh, you know what? And even if you don't want to take it, I got to do this. I'm gonna do Laura Croft, played by Angelina Jolie, because I watched the first one again because I was doing an assignment, and I love how nonplussed she is throughout the movie. She's riding behind sled dogs laughing. She's murdering robots. She's wiping out people, and she just looks super cool. I'm telling you, man, Jolie is good in that movie. Her charisma is awesome. So I'm going Laura Croft from Tomb Raider, and not because of certain things. I just think I love how nonplussed she is while killing things, and it made me very happy.
Awesome. So we have some ones on here that I think are foundational, right? Like Sarah Connor, Linda Hamilton. We have Uma Thurman as Beatrix Kiddo. Mm-hmm. Charlize Theron in Mad Max Fury Road.
Alita.
We have Pam Grier in a bunch of 70s stuff, but I'll be honest, I have only seen her. Yeah, I've only seen her in Tarantino stuff. I just don't know enough about that time period. I don't know what to go with here.
Buffy. Gina Davis from The Long Kiss Goodnight. Charlie Baltimore.
I mean, I lean towards Linda Hamilton. Right. I mean, I feel like if you're going to do an action female action hero, like, she is the number one. She's so buff and so strong.
So we got to cut these down to five?
Yeah, this is impossible. This is impossible.
All right, I got to keep the villainess because I love how she just murders people.
Cool.
I know it's a La Femme Nikita Point of Return remake, but I just love Kim Oakman in that movie, so I'm keeping her.
All right. I actually want to keep Sarah Connor over Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I love Sigourney Weaver. So but here's
David, my bad.
I'm just talking, spitballing here. What were you going
to
say?
Well, we'll be provocative if we leave Ripley off, but this is more about having fun and bringing different people to the table. So mm-hmm. if Mount Rushmore was made, I mean, Ripley and Sarah Connor would be there. So let's think about the B-Squad of that Mount Rushmore. Can we?
Okay.
I mean, Alice is underappreciated, but I also love Rita Vitasky, Emily Blunt, and Edge of Tomorrow. But Letty is also a beast.
I mean, I would put Letty in, and then I would do Edge of Tomorrow. Because okay. I think that movie is underrated, and she's phenomenal in it.
Well, so right now we have the villainess, Rita Vitasky, Letty, and Sarah Connor. So we have Ripley, mm-hmm. Artemisia, Alice, KT, Michelle Yeoh, Yushu Lin, and Lara Croft. So we need to pick one.
If we're going the route of like these are action heroes that don't get enough attention, should probably take KT or Pam from 300.
So
so the woman KT that actress is like in a lot of stuff now.
Let's do it. Let's go KT from Bloodshot.
Okay.
Let's go Isaac Gonzalez. So we have Sarah Connor, KT, Letty, Rita Vitasky, and the villainess.
Yeah. This is what a wild list.
This is a great crew. I am very happy right now. I'm very, very happy. Oh, well, I'll put that up on the post. We'll share what our squad was. But man, this was fun. Thank you. And I look forward to covering the other four with you, David.
Yeah. So that's the last question I had. How excited are you to see the next one?
I've been dying because I've done the Final Destination. I've done the Resident Evil franchises on the show. I've covered all of them with John Levengood, and I never watch the sequel until after we've covered the film, because I don't want anything clouding my memory, like my judgment or my memory, or getting me talking about everything. So I'm really looking forward to watching the second one because it's been years. I'm very excited.
So am I. Very excited. This has been fun.
Oh, hey, well, thank you for joining me. Make sure to listen to and follow the Award Wieners on Instagram. You will love it. David comes up with pure gold that just makes me laugh a lot. And, I dig it, man. So go to Award Wieners, follow that, and then just get ready to listen to the rest of our Underworld series. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, and for David Cross, this is Movies, Films, and Flicks. We'll see you next week.